KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky here in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly this afternoon, a high near 70. Currently, it's 58 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news, officials of the Creston Police Department say two people were arrested on separate drug-related charges over the past few days. Early this morning, 38-year-old Jeremy Ray Goodson of Creston was arrested at the Walmart in Creston on a charge of possession of controlled substance, first offense, marijuana. Goodson was being held in the Union County Jail on a $1,000 bond. And early Saturday morning, 35-year-old Michael Vincent Chihok of Afton was arrested in Creston for OWI third offense and possession of a concealed weapon. He was later released on $5,000 bond. Sunday afternoon, Creston police arrested 47-year-old Misty Joan McKinney of Creston on a warrant. McKinney was being held in the Ringgold County Jail on $1,000 bond. Well, former Iowa Lieutenant Governor Joy Corning died over the weekend. She was 84 years old. Corning was in her sixth year as a state senator when Terry Branstad picked her as his lieutenant governor running mate in 1990. Corning served 8 years in the post. Mary Ellen Miller is executive director of 50-50 in 2020, a group formed to encourage women to run for office. Corning was a founding board member.
And she, I think, was the epitome of civility.
Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds calls Corning a tremendous mentor and role model. Miller says Corning was a mentor to many other women considering a run for public office.
She would always have time, not just Republicans, but Democrats as well, to share her experience and offer advice. She was very open about encouraging women to run and helping them as best she could.
This past March, in spite of failing health, Corning attended a training program for would-be candidates.
The smile is classic. You know, we always talked about the Joy smile. And she was just aptly named, I guess. Not that she didn't have her serious sides, of course.
Corning ran for governor in 1998, but dropped out of the race before the GOP primary. In the 18 years since she left elected office, Corning helped to raise money for a chapel at a state prison for women. She was a Republican candidate, or moderate, that is, who favored abortion rights. In 2010, she co-founded the group Justice, Not Politics, to counter the campaign to unseat Iowa Supreme Court justices who had legalized same-sex marriage. Corning was born in Creston and was a 1949 graduate of the Bridgewater High School. She earned an education degree from what was then known as the Iowa State Teachers College. She served 9 years on the Cedar Falls School Board before being elected to the Iowa Senate. Corning died Saturday with her three daughters by her side. Corning had written her own obituary, thanking all who had contributed to and enriched her life. And an influential figure in Iowa politics for more than four decades has died. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Former House Speaker Don Avenson of Allwine died Friday. He was 72. Avenson was the unsuccessful Democratic Party nominee for governor in 1990, and he had been a statehouse lobbyist ever since. Jerry Fitzgerald struck up a friendship with Avenson shortly after the two were first elected to the Iowa House in 1972.
Very much a family man and just a, you know, decent guy. Wanted to do good. We wanted to leave the world a little better place.
Fitzgerald was with Avenson when he died. The two had been vacationing. They were driving through Nebraska when Avenson suffered a heart attack. Avenson was Speaker of the Iowa House for 8 years in the 1980s. Governor Terry Branstad, who won his race against Avenson in 1990, says Avenson was a strong and effective legislator. And Branstad says even though he and Avenson sometimes disagreed on policies, Branstad said he knew he could always rely on Avenson's word. I'm O.K. Henderson.
And Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says he wasn't in Iowa laying the groundwork to run for president, but did touch on familiar themes of those who have. He told about 100 Iowa Republicans at a fundraiser Friday night in Council Bluffs that he loves Iowa so much he married a woman born here, referring to his wife Anna, who was born in Sioux City. But besides a typical Iowa pandering, Cotton has laid out a broader vision. He called for the national unity that followed the terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. Cotton, who was elected in 2014, noted Republican President Donald Trump's victory, but grouped it generally with the GOP wins in November that he attributed to general dissatisfaction with Congress and the federal government. Despite those wins, Cotton called on his audience to aspire to better days. Some advocates for programs that help low-income people are expressing puzzlement over Governor Branstad's decision to veto spending from an infrastructure fund. When he used his line item veto authority earlier this month to cut $1.8 million in spending approved by the legislature, Branstad wrote that he would prefer state funds be spent on people and not buildings. But the proposed spending came from a fund that can only be used on building work. Senator Rick Bertrand, a Republican chairman of the subcommittee that oversees the infrastructure fund, says he doesn't understand the veto, noting that this fund is not set up for individuals. When asked about the governor's move, Branstad spokesman Ben Hammes offered a response that largely repeated the veto statement. Hammes declined to answer any further questions. The state of Iowa will give FlexSteel Industries more than $2 million as part of a $10 million bid to keep the furniture maker's plant in Dubuque. The Des Moines Register reports that on Friday, the Iowa Economic Development Authority Board approved a $2.1 million incentive package for FlexSteel. That includes a $1 million forgivable loan and more than $1 million in tax credits and refunds. It will also get $8 million in local incentives. FlexSteel announced earlier this month that it will keep its manufacturing operations along with 200 of its current 218 jobs in Dubuque. That came 7 months after it said it would close the Dubuque facility at the end of this year. The company plans to spend $25 million on a new plant in Dubuque. Woodworkers from around the country for a conference worked on a special project to create wooden urns for the Iowa Veterans Cemetery. Dave Campbell, the editorial content chief of Wood Magazine, which hosted the conference, says that they try to do a special project every year.
Last year we built 29 little free libraries to promote literacy in Central Iowa, and we had those scattered around Central Iowa that were built by our attendees.
Campbell says this year's project meets another need.
There are a large number of indigent veterans that if their cremains go unclaimed, they are turned over to the Veterans Cemetery, and oftentimes they are interred in just a plastic box. And we didn't really feel that was a very respectful or dignified burial for someone who was served our country.
They got things underway Saturday to make enough urns to handle the need for 1 year.
The Veterans Cemetery says they can use about 100 of these in about a year's worth of time.
He said that it takes about 30 to 45 minutes to build an urn, and they plan to run the right assembly lines to machine, cut, route, sand, and assemble the finished products.
Each box will have a laser engraved medallion of the branch of service that the veteran served in.
The special project was part of the activities at the three-day conference where woodworkers learned new techniques from experts. Liberty Hardwoods Incorporated in Des Moines donated the red oak lumber to construct the urns, and Rigid and Ryobi provided the power tools needed to build them. A Davenport college is unveiling plans for more than $50 million worth of improvements to student housing, buildings, athletic fields, and other aspects of campus. Palmer College of Chiropractic unveiled preliminary plans at a community meeting last Thursday. The college hopes to make the improvements over the next 10 years. Vice Chancellor Aaron Christopher says part of the plan is already being implemented with the construction of a $14 million athletic facility. He said most of the improvements aim to modernize the campus in an effort to retain and recruit more students. The plan is expected to go to City Council in July. Christopher said he hopes the plan will be finalized by September and work could begin in the next 6 months. Well, men from Texas and Alabama have been sentenced for posing as Internal Revenue Service agents and bilking a Northern Iowa woman. 41-year-old Eduardo Cruz of Grapevine, Texas, last week was sentenced to 4 days in jail. A $625 fine was suspended, and he was ordered to pay nearly $5,000 in restitution. He pleaded guilty to theft. Co-defendant Cody Phillips of Eufaula, Alabama, last month was sentenced to 85 days in jail in order to pay $69 in restitution. Police say Phillips and Cruz had called a woman and threatened her with arrest if she didn't pay them the money they said that she owed the government. And an eyesore that used to be the Waterloo Greyhound Park has fallen into disrepair while two groups with a claim on it battle it out in court. Officials for the city have stopped issuing citations for broken windows, overgrown weeds, and graffiti until the legal dispute between the National Cattle Congress and the Sac and Fox Tribe of the Mississippi in Iowa. Community Planning and Development Director Noel Anderson said the issue is a little tricky because the tribe is a sovereign nation. The track shut down more than 20 years ago. The nonprofit NCC opened the park in 1986 to bolster revenue, but the track began losing money. The tribe owned NCC, or rather loaned NCC $1 million. Make that $9.1 million in 1995, while it was undergoing a bankruptcy reorganization. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network, and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.